Welcome back to week two of our series called Risen, which is about the resurrection. When we think about the resurrection, it really is the defining event of our Christian faith. Without it, our faith would be in vain, and as Paul said, we'd be people most pitied. Because of how big the event of the resurrection is, we wanted this year to take a deeper look at the resurrection. And we started this series looking at how there are some historical evidences and arguments for the resurrection. And Gary laid those out for us on Easter, which was a great message to hear. Now we're going to be moving into seeing how the resurrection can shape how we view ourselves, the world around us, even God, and also how it shapes our actions in practical ways. Before we move into our sermon today, a little highlight for what's to come. Our next series is going to be about the Holy Spirit. As we transition out of the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, we're going to naturally just move into the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. And so we're going to be looking at how the Holy Spirit works in our life. Now, jumping back into our sermon for today, our main passage today is going to be from 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 58. And there's going to be three main points from our sermon today. Now, before we get to our main passage, that actually will be later down the road in our sermon today, we're going to start in the book of Revelation. You can turn to Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And as you're turning there, our first point for today is that God is making all things new. That God is making all things new. Now, when we think about the book of Revelation, we often think about the apocalyptic language, all the visions that happen in that book, and it is definitely a hot topic book within the Christian faith. If you hold a Bible study on the book of Revelation, you are sure to attract a crowd. But the main theme of the book of Revelation, and something that we can't forget, is that Jesus is victorious. That at the end of all creation, God wins. And at the end of this book, we see a beautiful picture of where God is ultimately moving all of creation. And it is in Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 5. Let's read it together. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. Then they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true.'" Now, in the very beginning of this passage, we see what God is ultimately going to do at the end of time. He is going to restore and renew all the brokenness that we have in this world right now. A great verse from this passage, and one that is means a lot to a lot of people, is verse 4, where he says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." God, at the end of all things, will wipe away all the pain, all the hurt, all the sin, all the brokenness, and he will restore and renew creation. And that's such a beautiful picture, and that is our promise that God gives to us, that he will one day restore all of creation. And then in verse 5, he says to John, I am making everything new. Now that statement is present tense. And when John heard this, which was in the first century, God was already up to something. He was already beginning his restoration project here on earth. He was starting something new here on earth that would in some way be tied and connected to this new creation that God is going to bring. And so, when did this new thing start? When did this new restoration project begin? We see that it begins at the resurrection of Jesus. The restoration and renewal project would be something that the world had never seen. At the resurrection, something happened that would completely shake the foundations of all the existing orders and ways of thinking about the world. Now, let's back up a little bit. When Jesus first came into the world, the brokenness of this world was very much apparent. The Roman Empire was dominating the ancient world, and it did so with an iron fist. If you tried to rebel against the Roman government, if you tried to do something out of order, you were punished. And depending how far you took that and rebelled and didn't want to bow to Caesar, you'd be tortured, thrown to the lions in the arena, or one of their most popular ways of executing people was the crucifixion. Hundreds of thousands of people experienced the crucifixion. Roman empires was not messing around. They wanted complete conformity to the way they did things. They also devalued anyone in their society who would not bring value to the table. If you had a deformity, if you were a young child, if you were someone who wasn't able to participate in a productive way in society, you were looked down upon. And so when Jesus came into this world, the Jewish people and the people living in the Israel area very much knew the system that they existed in. And when Jesus started to heal the sick, when he started to help the poor, when he brought hope to those who were weak, those who were devalued in society, and those who were lost in their walk with God, people were starting to think that he would be the one to undo this order. That he would be the one that would bring restoration to the world through how they saw it to happen. And as things continued to grow in anticipation, something took a really bad turn. Jesus looked like he was going to get crucified. And the Jewish people, many of them who were hoping that he would be the Messiah, their hopes were dashed when they saw him hanging on a cross. Their hope for this restored order, that he'd be the one to come to bring restoration, they thought it was over. They saw the old order of things just continuing as they were. And as they placed him in the tomb, they were reminded of the corruption of their world and the brokenness that surrounded them. But when Jesus walked out of that grave, something new began. Something that was going to revolutionize the world. And when the disciples started to understand and realize that Jesus rose from the dead and that this was starting something new, their lives were forever changed. And because of those moments with the risen Lord, they started a movement in the world that we call the kingdom of God. It is a set of values, of a vision for the world that is completely different than anything the world has ever tried to wrap their minds around. And this new creation that began on Resurrection Sunday, it was this big picture of what God was going to do. God was going to give a voice to the voiceless. He was going to restore brokenness. He was going to one day fully restore all humanity and all of creation. And we see a small glimpse of that in the resurrection. And so where does this new creation start? How does this new creation start affecting us, this new work that God wanted to do in the world through the resurrection? It actually begins with us. It begins with us. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." So notice this language that Paul is using. He's saying this new creation that God is doing in the world that started at the resurrection, we start to participate in that. We ourselves become a new creation. This new work that God wanted to do in the world begins with us. And we start to become transformed. Our values start to change. We start to get kingdom values. And we start to change our lives because of that. We become the agents that bring this new creation into the world, that help the poor, help the helpless, give a voice to the voiceless. And that God wants to use us in that. God is at work in the world, bringing this new creation and this restoration to the world. And we get to partner with God in that. And so our third point is that Christians can join in on this process of restoration. Christians can join in this process of restoration that God wants to do. And this comes to our main passage that we're finally getting to, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 58. Paul says, writing about the resurrection, he's starting to conclude all of the previous chapters' thoughts and writings on the resurrection. And he's coming to the climax of all of what he's been writing about the resurrection in chapter 15. And in verse 54, he begins, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." And that reminds us of the resurrection and its power, right? That he has defeated death. He started to undo the old way of things by attacking the very foundation of it, which was death. And because of this, what is our response? Well, he lays this out in the last verse of the chapter, in verse 4 and 58, where he says, "Therefore," that is because of these things, because he has defeated death, what are we supposed to do between the times of his resurrection and God completely restoring and renewing all of creation? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to sit back and twiddle our thumbs and just kind of watch the world go? Are we supposed to be the ones that are the savior of the world, that we're the ones going out there and conquering everything? There's an odd tension that happens in a lot of Christian circles where people think, well, the earth is just kind of going downhill and we really can't do anything, and we're just going to wait for God to transform everything. And there's also the other extreme that says, we as Christians, we're the ones that have to go out there and save the world. But the Bible gives a balanced approach to this. God's Spirit is at work in the world. He is the one doing the work. But we partner with Him. We partner with what God is doing in the world. He wants to use us in that process to bring hope, to bring restoration to a broken world. And so we can choose to be a part of that or not. God's Spirit is working right now. And we're going to get into it in a little bit about in this world through the coronavirus. How are we going to be a part of God's Spirit right now moving in this world and bringing restoration and hope? Verse 58 in 1 Corinthians 15 lands the plane for what we want to be talking about. This verse 58 says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. And this is the key verse. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So Paul just got done explaining the resurrection, about how we are going to have a new body, about how we will be with this new creation in God at some point in time. But he doesn't say, well, just sit back in your armchair and don't do anything. He says, give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That somehow the work that we are doing right now as Christians to participate in this restoration process is not in vain. It is not empty. It is not meaningless. There is some mysterious connection between the work that we do to help feed someone who is hungry during this time and the new creation to come. There is some connection between when we use our gifts and talents to give glory to God, to bring hope to the world, that is somehow pointed to and connected to the new creation that is to come. It is not in vain. It's not just going to be wiped away. God's not going to take anything not going to wipe it away from our account. He's going to tie that and weave that into this new creation that is to come that ultimately is going to be His work. And so there is a deep connection between the belief of the resurrection of Jesus and the work that we have cut out for us as Christians here on this earth. We are to move toward those who are helpless and weak right now. We are to help those who are helpless. We are to bring light to the darkness, and we are to help restore the brokenness, relying on God's power and strength in our life and relying on His guidance about where He wants us to be at this time. And so how does this play out right now in this time of the COVID-19 pandemic when we're all in quarantine? How does bringing restoration to a broken world look like right now? Because right now, as you can tell, there's a lot of brokenness happening. The brokenness of our world is very much apparent. So how do we as Christians bring restoration? How do we partner with God in the restoration He wants to bring to the world? Well, our last passage for today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And this is part of the Lord's Prayer. And we'll just read through the Lord's Prayer and we'll show how this becomes a central prayer for our life and a reminder about what is one of our central duties here on earth as Christians. Jesus says, this is how you should pray, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the key verse we want to focus on. It says, we want what is happening in heaven. We want the values of heaven. We want the qualities of heaven to come to earth. That is our prayer. That God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We as Christians, living our Christian life, are used by God to be that bridge that we express God's will here on earth. And His will is to bring restoration and healing to our broken world. And so how does that look like in this unique time? Well, we're going to look at that through continuing this prayer. Because I think this prayer lines out and shows us how we can live out what happens in heaven here on earth. Verse 11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. Ultimately, this is about trusting God's provision and sovereignty in our life. In heaven, there is an abundance. In heaven, there is never any need. In heaven, there is complete trust in God, and the new creation that is to come will have an abundance. There will never be any need. There will never be any hurt or pain happening because of hunger. And because of this vision of this new world to come, we want to express that here right now. And so as we live that out in our world right now, we see a lot of people panicking and wanting to hoard a lot of food and items for themselves. As Christians, we should be taking just what we think we need to get by. What is it that we ultimately need to survive through this? And how can we use our access, food, and supplies to give to others? When we only buy what we need at the store, that allows other people to get what they also need. I'm sure you've seen things on social media or the news of the elderly getting into the stores later and not getting what they need because all of the food items or paper items have been taken. We as Christians don't want to participate in that. We want to take a stand against that and realize when we're providing for families or ourselves at our home, we want to model this prayer that we only want to take what we need to get by and trust that God will continue to provide for us. We also at this time want to provide for those who have needs. This Wednesday, we're going to be having a food drive here at Trinity. You could come by and drop off food for people in our area who are in desperate need of food. There's going to be details in our bulletin and other details coming out on our social media, on our Facebook, to let you know about all the details you would need to know about that, how to participate in that this coming Wednesday. That's one way as Christians we can help those who are really feeling the lack of food and provision in their life. As Christians, we want to participate with God in His heart, in His desire to help provide for those people. And so we'd encourage you to participate this Wednesday in our food drive here at Trinity. The next way we can live this out is verse 12. It says, "And forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Forgiveness is the key theme of that verse. Forgiveness is the key theme of heaven. Forgiveness is the central part of heaven. The reason Jesus came to earth is to forgive our sins. It is the heart of God to forgive people. And we want to be living that out in our world right now. In the new creation to come, everyone will be forgiven. There will be no more sin. We will live in a forgiven world, and we will experience the restoration of our relationship to God in its fullness. And so to live that out now, we want to be forgiving others. As we are living at home a lot more than what we're used to, I'm sure that a lot of us have maybe been irked by some people at home because we're rubbing shoulders with them a little more than what we're used to. Everyone at all the families at home. And so we're spending a lot more time with people in our family. And as what can normally happen, as we spend a lot of time with the same people, people can sometimes maybe get a little annoying. It can irk us the wrong way. They can do things that start to get under our skin. We have to remember that we want to be quick to forgive people. to show grace to people at this time as we are living at home through an extended time period in quarantine. We also want to be showing forgiveness to leaders in our community, in our state, and in our country. We all know we're going through a time that none of us have gone through before. And there's a lot of hard decisions that need to be made from community leaders, from our state leaders, and countrywide leaders. You may disagree with some of the decisions that they make, but we need to be forgiving towards them. We need to be showing grace towards them, not posting nasty things on Facebook or social media, but showing grace to our leaders. They are under tremendous stress and pressure right now. The last thing they need is negativity coming from the citizens in their community, in their state, in their country. They need our prayer support. So I would encourage you, if you have a disagreement with a leader in our community, in our state, or our country about the decisions they're making, post on your Facebook a prayer for them. To be praying for them at this time. And if you don't have social media, pray for that person privately. We as Christians want to be different than the world, and we want to be bringing this restored world that is to come to bear here and now. And that shows itself in forgiveness of others, especially at this time of COVID-19 pandemic. And the last way we see that we can bring this restored world is in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In the new creation that is to come, Satan will be defeated. There will be no more temptation. There will be no more enemy that's trying to bring us down. And we look forward to that day. But as Christians, we know we live in a world right now that Satan is trying to take people down, trying to derail us from our mission. He's trying to bring darkness into our life. And so as Christians, we may be feeling the pressure to be relaxed on some of our beliefs when it comes to ethical decisions, especially when financial pressure starts to be felt a little more because of a loss of a job or a loss of income in some way. We may feel tempted to skirt around what we truly believe in our value system. That's Satan trying to tempt us. This scripture encourages us to be true to the course, to realize that as Satan trying to get us off course and that we want to bring a restored world into this present broken world. We want to be people who are true and righteous. We don't want to be people who are backsliding and trying to get around the system. And so during this time of financial pressure, Satan is going to try to work in our lives to get us to lie, cheat, or do something that would be unethical. We as Christians want to live in light of the new world to come and to be examples of that world to come and to stay true to what God calls us to do, which is to live a holy life. And so, in closing, as we looked at our sermon today, we saw that God is up to something new. He's making all things new. And that process of restoration began at the resurrection. That resurrection reshaped the whole understanding of the known world and pointed to this climactic point where God would one day restore all of humanity. Then we saw in our last section that Christians participate with God in bringing that restoration to the world. That new creation starts within us, it transforms us, and then we participate with the work of God in bringing healing to a broken world. And so during this time of uncertainty, of quarantine, of the sickness that's going around, we would encourage you to continue to reflect on the resurrection and its impact on our life. How can you be partnering with God this week in living out the resurrection and bringing restoration to a broken world.